Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
The Athletic.
Hello and welcome to 5,000 to 1, the Leicester City podcast from The Athletic. I'm Rob Tanner, and joining me as always, former Leicester City captain and once budding cricketer who played in the same Surrey school side as Graham Thorpe. Please explain that one, Matt Elliott.
I don't know where you're getting these snippets, or should I say Joel, the producer, is getting these snippets from. Yeah, it's incredible how he's delving into my past. It's slightly concerning, to be honest. I think you should stop right there, not go any further. But yeah, it's 99% true. I did actually get picked in a Surrey Schools squad alongside Graham Thorpe, and we were due to go on tour, but for one reason or another, it didn't materialise because of finances, from memory. But so that was my opportunity. And after that, I'd veered into the football world, away from cricket, really. But I used to love cricket. And Graham Thorpe was an excellent footballer as well, actually. And probably would have had a crack at being professional in football, but I think he took the right choice, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So what were you then, Matt? Were you batsman, fast bowler? What were you?
Bit of everything, mate. Bit of an all-rounder. Yeah, I was sort of reasonably quick bowler. I used to love batting, though. Yeah. Ian Botham style and all that. And he was my boyhood hero, really, of anyone, like growing up, even more than any footballers that I looked up to. So I got the pleasure of actually meeting him once. I was ball boy at a Chelsea testimonial for Ron Harris, of all people. Ian Botham was in the changing rooms. Got to meet him. There you go.
Oh, wow.
And then I ended up playing for Scunthorpe, who Ian Botham played for, of course.
Famously played for, yeah, I remember that. But there's been a rich history of footballers / cricketers over the years. I mean, even recently, Ben Chilwell was a very prominent young cricketer before he had to decide which route he was going to take, and obviously took the route down the football way. But yeah, there's a lot of this. What is it? This the crossover with the seasons?
Yeah, maybe. I think a lot of footballers are sort of naturally gifted at sport, probably a hand-eye, foot-eye combination. I don't know. You get quite a lot of footballers who are good all-round sportsmen. You know, I used to play, without blowing my own trumpet, used to play rugby, basketball, cricket, and football to a decent level. And then you come to a certain age, don't you, where you've got to make that choice. And Gary Lineker was similar as well, wasn't he?
He'd play a bit of cricket, couldn't he?
Yeah, he played sort of local, certainly a high level. I think he might have even been at Leicester for a little while. But obviously he took the right choice as well. And I'm not so sure I did. When I was about 23, 24, I was thinking, you know, I was trawling the lower leagues. I was thinking maybe I should have gone with the cricket, but it turned out all right in the end.
Absolutely. Well, let's get on to Leicester City, the current crop. We've had an international break and we'll talk about the Man City game as well. But just before we get underway, want to remind our listeners that right now you can subscribe to The Athletic for a special price of £3.99 a month for 6 months. That's 40% off the full price of a subscription. You'll enjoy great analysis and in-depth features from the very best football writers around, as well as ad-free versions of all our podcasts. So go to theathletic.com/LeicesterPod to take advantage of this special 40% discount. That's theathletic.com/LeicesterPod. International breaks. I mean, you're an international footballer, capped by Scotland. So, I mean, you should have some interest in these. But it's been a while since we've had an international break, and they seem to be cramming the games in during these breaks. But there's been a few of the Leicester lads going away. Kasper Schmeichel kept 3 clean sheets over the break and earned his 63rd cap. Danny Ward kept a clean sheet. I mean, good run out for him. Clean sheet for Wales versus the Czech Republic. Johnny Evans played the full 90 for Northern Ireland versus Bulgaria, 0-0 draw. Dennis Pratt scored. Youri Tielemans has featured prominently for Belgium, and their latest one was an 8-0 win over Belarus. And Iheanacho and Ndidi play for Nigeria, beat Lesotho 3-0. Mm-hmm. Iheanacho providing an assist. So that, despite the fact that Harvey Barnes and James Maddison, we will get to in a bit because there's a bit of injury news on him, they've missed out on the international window. There's still plenty of Leicester representation. But how do you view the international break, Matt? Because I don't know about you, but I find some of the games quite tedious to watch. I mean, I've watched England against San Marino and Albania, and they just seem to be going through the motions, a bit of a formality. I know there was the Macedonia win over Germany, which justifies, in a way, that the lesser lights being involved early rounds of the qualifying. But the rest of the time, it seems quite tedious.
It does, yeah. And I'm with you, really. I mean, even the England-Poland game wasn't scintillating, was it? You know, it was all a little bit stale. And, OK, you know, Poland made a fist of it in the end. And, you know, England just snuck through. But it was, I don't know, it doesn't sort of get the adrenaline flowing, does it, really, at the moment? And as well, there's a little bit of overkill in terms of football in general on the screens at the moment. And then cramming 3 games for a tournament that's, what, a year and a half away, into a pretty much 7-8 day period. And then when you've got a major championship looming in a couple of months or so, it all scrambles you a little bit, and you end up sort of losing a little bit of enthusiasm for it, I feel.
I suppose for Brendan Rodgers, it's just a case of crossing your fingers. It's fantastic that the players have all getting recognition at international level. It shows that he's got good players in his squad, but just cross your fingers and hope they all come back okay. And from what the news we just had from his press conference ahead of the Man City game at the weekend is that everybody so far has come back fit. I mean, there's still a few lads to come back. I mean, I've mentioned a few there, but there's so many more. I mean, Castagne's been playing, Fofana's been playing for France under-21s, but so far everybody seems to have come back okay, and that's what you can ask as a Leicester City manager.
Yeah, exactly. It's always a worry, isn't it? Always a concern, because you can be unfortunate and 3 or 4 come back, little niggles or even more serious injuries, and that's obviously a big issue. But you can't deny players the opportunity to go and, you know, play international football, particularly in World Cup qualifiers. You know, the officially competitive games and something for them to be proud of at the time, and certainly to look back on once their careers are finished, and to reflect upon the achievements that they've made. And it's it's a sign of the times. Again, it's just a good indication of what level Leicester City are performing at. And by the way, you mentioned Fofana there. I saw he came on as a substitute for the under-21s for France. They must have some team.
Oh, exactly. I mean, he's played one game at right back. You're right. They must have some great youngsters coming through. Fofana, he's struggling to get a regular game for the French under-21s. And I think Brendan just made that point himself during the press conference. But one thing about the international break, though, it has given an opportunity to get some rest to some players that have been carrying knocks and niggles. And also, there's been some positive news, as well as the lads coming back so far, all fit. James Maddison and Ricardo Pereira have recovered from their injury, and they are both available for Man City on Saturday evening. So that's a bonus to have Maddison back. Although, where do you put him back in the side now?
Yeah, nice problem to have, isn't it? But Brendan had actually mentioned before the international break, didn't he? He said that he'll get an opportunity, and we're hoping that he'll be in contention for this Man City game. And so it's proved to be. There's obviously seemingly no reaction to the injury and that he's been suffering with. And that's good news. That's good news because without knowing the specifics of the injury, I didn't like the sound of it because it's something that wasn't going away easily. And, you know, that can be a problem. And I know of other players, myself as well. I had an ongoing issue in my time at Oxford United before I came to Leicester. And it started off just, you know, as an irritant. But then it continued and it continued. And whatever I did, it persisted. And eventually it became, although it wasn't a massively impacting injury, it took the edge off my game. And it became a threat to my career, basically. And I had to go to see a specialist to get it resolved, and it was uncertain whether it worked. Thankfully for me, it did. I had to do a lot of work around it, you know, to maintain. It was in around my pelvic area, it was. So, you know, I had to do exercises accordingly. And James Maddison would probably have to do the same, you know, to prevent it reoccurring. But, if he's able to get back, you know, and play confidently and consistently, then that's great news.
Absolutely. But the thing is about this international break, and it's been great that the fact that James has been able to do some work and Ricardo has been able to do some fitness work, Vardy's been able to get a rest, but the rest of the lads have been away. Some of them are not coming back until Friday, the day before the game against Man City. So they've got effectively a day to prepare to face the best team in the country right now, Manchester City. I mean, how on earth is that allowed to happen? I mean, that's crazy, isn't it? How are you going to prepare for such a challenge in a day?
Yeah, it's a nonsense. Again, it goes back to, you know, the fixture schedule of these World Cup qualifiers. It needs addressing, doesn't it? It needs looking at, because I know, you know, the ever-increasing demands of modern-day football and all that entails, but come on, you know, this could have been. I think most people have said that Man City are going to win the league, but, you know, it's vitally important, more so for Leicester probably, this game, than out of the two teams. And who knows? It could have been a title decider there or thereabouts, you know, if Man City hadn't been quite so imperious this year. But, you know, and to have your efforts sort of constrained by fixture schedules, as you say, who's due to come back on Friday? Is that the Nigerian boys?
Yeah, I think it's the ones that have got the furthest travelling. So that'd be Kelechi, Wilf. To come back in, so, you know, so you get a day with them. The rest of the lads are reported back today, the ones that have been playing in Europe, but obviously they've been doing recovery, so it's only really one day to carve out a master plan. We saw early in the season when they went to the Etihad and won 5-2 how important it is to have a game plan against Man City, because the game plan worked perfectly on that occasion. I mean, it was a masterclass from Brendan in terms of how to approach Man City. Whether they can do that again, that game plan will not work again against Man City, because they'll be wise to it. I mean, I was watching some footage preparing for a feature, and they were almost in a 5-4-1 playing in the defending in their final third. Now, Brendan loves to press. He loves his teams to press, but against Man City, he realised that if they press, that could hurt them. So they sat really deep, and then Vardy sitting on Rodri, and they broke up Man City's play and then broke very, very quickly. I wonder whether they can do that again, though, against this Man City side. I think he's going to have to come up with a different game plan. He's got a day to do it.
Well, I think they'll adjust it a little bit, yeah. I think you're right. But, I mean, you say they sat deep, Rob, which is true, certainly in the early stages. But you have a look at the goals or the penalties that were forced by Leicester. They had big numbers in advanced areas as well.
You know, when the time was right. Very quick.
Yeah, well, they broke quick, but they also broke up play as well. It wasn't always winning the ball in deep areas and then playing on the counter. That was a feature. But also, when the time was right and their confidence grew within the game and that they could, you know, get a feel within the match itself of how things were going, the balance was swinging a little bit, and all of a sudden, they were squeezing and pressing Man City, not constantly, but, you know, at the right times. And Didi was breaking up play. Castagna was forward. James Justin was forward, both in wing back positions. And that both, Castagna especially, had an influence in terms of assisting goals. The one that Vardy flicked between his legs. And you have a look, there was four, five, six players in and around the final third of Leicester, you know, Man City's defensive third. And that caught Man City unawares, because they're not used to that. They're not expecting that, especially from Leicester City. You know, okay, soak up pressure, but don't have the temerity almost, you know, to come and start making advances at us. And it shook Man City up. And in fairness, Guardiola has to take a bit of credit, really, because they looked loose, didn't they, defensively. They looked ragged. They actually looked like a team that don't practice defending, if I'm honest. And maybe that, you know, you hear rumours that that is the case, because there's so much emphasis on going forward, keeping the ball and breaking up and winning the ball back quickly. But what happens if you don't win it back quickly? You know, have you got the shape and solidity about you? And on that day, Man City didn't.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's going to be the start of a very interesting period for Leicester. I mean, Man City, obviously, on Saturday. Then West Ham a week later. And then you got the FA Cup semi-final. And then you've got a run of games against West Brom, Palace, Southampton, Newcastle. Finishing then with United, Chelsea and Tottenham. Although I know they've got a nice little 7-point cushion in the top four, but there's some really big games. It's not a foregone conclusion they're going to qualify for the Champions League again this season. They've got some big fixtures coming up, Leicester. It's great that they're coming into this run of games, this finale, this final stretch, with some of their big hitters returning to fitness. But there's plenty to play for, isn't there, for Leicester? It's so exciting.
Yeah, very much so. Every game, huge, isn't it? Whether it's FA Cup semi-finals or Premier League countdown. But I think, yeah, going into this game, some people have been looking at those fixtures from quite a while back and thinking, oh, Leicester need to get the work done, get things signed and sealed and delivered before those final three games of the season, because they could end up losing all three. And I think if you think like that, it's a recipe for trouble. Because Leicester have proved themselves capable throughout the season. And I know you can harp back to the last campaign. So there is a valid, you know, justification there for being a little bit wary. But I think that they've proved over a long period of time, particularly this season, you know, one or two minor dips, very minor. And they've reacted so well to, you know, to a knockback, really. And a few times Leicester have lost a game. And go, oh, here we go. It's all going to fall apart. It hasn't. And not so long ago, obviously, with the injury situation, everyone feared the worst. You know, all of a sudden, Burnley away became a tough game. Brighton away was a tough game. And when they were 2 weeks prior to that, expected to go and win convincingly. But then, listen, Matt. Situations change, don't they? Yeah, a couple of defeats and all of a sudden pressure's on again. But who's to say that Leicester are going to go and lose the next two games just because they're playing good quality opposition? You know, Leicester have beaten every top six, the big six in inverted commas, this season.
They've got a great record, Matt. They've got 13 points against the big six this season. This is four more than they got in the whole of last season against them. They have really proved themselves effective against the top sides.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I genuinely fancy them to get at least a point at the weekend. But because of how good Leicester are, but also I think Man City's mind could be elsewhere to a degree. West Ham, I know West Ham turned Leicester over, but I think they got a bit caught unawares. And Leicester more than capable of getting something there as well. Then you've got the other games coming up, they probably won't be plain sailing, but you expect them to pick up a decent amount of points. Other teams are going to drop points as well. What is it, Man United, Chelsea, Tottenham? Tough games, but it all depends upon the situation. Yeah, but I hark back a little bit. You know, have that mentality. Don't be wary, don't be nervous or tentative going into these games. Right, this is an opportunity for us to finish them off, the opposition. You know, if Leicester go and beat West Ham aren't catching Leicester, pretty much. You know, spin it round a bit and maybe, you know, and treat it like that. Because, and don't be wary of, if I don't play well and I make a mistake and we lose 1-0, then we might not qualify for Europe because we'll fall away. You know, if they wouldn't be playing at the level they're playing at if they thought like that. And you go there and treat it like, right, we're going to finish West Ham off today. And if they did that, Champions League's probably nailed on, because the other teams are pretty far away, aren't they? So that's the sort of mentality that I think Brendan Rodgers will be trying to drill into his players if they haven't got it already.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the team's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham, all new, Thursdays on FX, stream on Hulu.
Hello listeners, sorry to interrupt your show, but we've got a small favour to ask. We're currently doing a bit of a survey to find out more about you, your podcast listening habits, and the sort of adverts that are most relevant to you. If you feel like helping, please head to surveymonkey.com/r/athleticaudiouk. That's pretty catchy, so I'll say it one more time. surveymonkey.com/r/athleticaudiouk. Thank you.
Well, it's a busy time at the end of the season. A lot's going to be decided, but also, equally so, it's going to be a busy summer for Leicester City off the field, sorting out some of the contracts that are going on at Leicester City. We've got Morgan, Fuchs, Jakubovic, Tavares and James all out of contract. Under his situation needs to be resolved. Then going into the final year of their contract is Ward, Amarte, Albrighton and Iheanacho. Now, we understand they are looking at renewing Iheanacho's contract, giving him a new contract offer. We don't know about Albrighton or Onamarte at the moment. You would suspect that they would certainly look at the goalkeeper situation with Jakubovic out of contract and Ward with a year going into his final year. But on the back of that, with 2 years left on their deals, going into 2 years left, and Leicester don't like to leave themselves vulnerable with contracts, you've got the likes of Siunsu, Pereira and Tielemans. Massively important that they sort out Yuri Tielemans' contract. Now, I've spoken to one of his advisors, and talks have already started on an improved deal with Tielemans, which is fantastic news. And they seem quite relaxed about the situation. They say Yuri is very, very happy at Leicester City. He's enjoying working with Brendan. He feels like he's becoming a better player under Brendan. But there's that caveat of, you know, he's reaching another level now. He's taking his game to another level. There are clubs watching him. There are clubs monitoring his rise. And if he has an outstanding tournament for Belgium in the Euros, you know, it could present Leicester with a bit of a conundrum. So it's important they get that one sorted sooner rather than later. But I understand it will be left till the summer to sort out, as a lot of these are. So an important time with the contracts.
It always is, Rob, isn't it? Like, you know, as you say, that things, negotiations are ongoing, but the crunch period is at the end of the campaign where people can take stock and take time to really, you know, get to the nitty gritty of the details of the contract. But it's a constant issue, though, isn't it? You know, you've just mentioned a multitude of players there that contract situation needs to be considered. And there's a little bit of a pecking order there, isn't there, in terms of some are out of contract and then some have got a year. It's the big hitters, for want of a better phrase, within the squad that the club are really wary of letting get less than 2 years, aren't they, because of the rulings the way they are and the value, etc., transfer value. But and you just mentioned there that Ricardo Soyuncu, was it? And then Tielemans.
Yeah, it's Schmeichel, Soyuncu, Evans, Pereira, Choudhury, Mendy, Tielemans, Perez and Vardy that will go with 2 years left on their contracts.
Yeah.
Their contracts are up in 2023.
It's so difficult these days, isn't it? Because, you know, in times gone by, without the Bosman ruling effectively, you know, it would go down to the final year, possibly, and then you start looking at it and thinking, okay. Well, in fact, in my day, it used to run out. Your contract would run out, and you still were sort of tied to the club to a degree. But that's not the case these days. You know, we all know the situation. So you sign a 4-year contract, it's almost effectively a 2-year, because if you're playing at any decent level, the club are going to come at you with another one. A situation arises quickly, isn't it? So it's ongoing uncertainty, if you like, and it sort of plays into the players' hands more often than not. But it's the way of the world. And it'd be interesting to see how things turn out, isn't it? With the world as it is at the moment, and you know, even King Power as a company have been affected, and the transfer policy or re-recruitment policy in terms of renegotiating contracts. Interesting to see how far Leicester are willing to go. I mean, will there be any players leaving in the summer? Not because Leicester necessarily want them to go, but so that they can finance other deals. You know, not just for other players from outside the club, but players that are already existing there to give the likes of Tielemans and Soyuncu the contracts they want. Otherwise, they might start glancing elsewhere because they're good enough to go to numerous places. But with Leicester performing at the level they are, with the manager they got, with the setup they got, the facilities, the board, you know, proactive, progressive, there aren't too many places better than Leicester City right now. Now, I know people will argue, you know, the historically bigger clubs, and they are going to be tempting, of course. But Leicester, more often than not, manage to get things sewn up, don't they? Even if it means, as they did with Maguire, maybe, to sign a contract, get them there. Get, worst way, if a player is going to go on, they get full value. And best way, they get a very good player who's happy, on good money, and wants to stay at the club and do as best he can. So, yeah, it's a bit of a win-win situation, really, although there's going to be heavy outlay to keep players like Tielemans, because, as you say, he's proven himself a top-quality international footballer, isn't he? You know, recognised right across the globe these days for the qualities he's got.
Having recorded a loss of £67 million, I think the priority for Rodgers will be to keep this squad together first and foremost. And we've seen every summer so far, one key player has gone for big money, but that money has been immediately reinvested back into the squad. And even during the pandemic last summer, they still brought in Castagna and brought Fofana in because they could see huge value in those deals.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it would be more of the same. They'll try and consolidate this squad, get some of these contracts sorted out, certainly the key men that they want to keep and build the team around, and that would certainly include Tielemans. And he will have a substantial pay rise. I imagine it would be around six figures a week. I think they will still try and support Brendan by adding during the summer.
Yeah, listen, you back Leicester City in the transfer market all day long, don't you? Like everyone, they don't get it right 100% of the time. But show me a club that's got a better recruitment dealing record over the last few years. I don't think there'd be one, would there? You know,
absolutely
magnificent players that they've signed, and they get it right more often than not. I mean, I'm just thinking in the back of my mind possibilities who might leave in the summer. And there are many of the players that have got the potential. I'm not so sure they will.
I think it's a different beast now, aren't they, Leicester? They're a different beast now.
Well, Leicester's a different beast, and also the environment is. I don't think too many clubs are going to be splashing out huge sums, are they? And it's going to take huge sums to get any of Leicester's top players out of the King Power.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Training ground routine, clearly. Who's going to take it? It's Mahrez in the end. It goes a long way and it's in from Huth! And Leicester City grab the lead early from the big defender, Robert Huth. Well, what about that?
Well, talking about great Leicester City signings, that's a great segue into this final bit of this podcast. We've been running a series called Modern Day Cult Heroes on The Athletic, and it was my turn to present a Leicester piece, and I managed to do an interview with a player that had always said no before, because he says journalists always ask the same boring questions all the time. He's a very uncompromising, straight talking character, Robert Huth, and it was a really enjoyable interview as well. He doesn't hold back on his opinions on anything, and modern referees certainly got a bit of a broadsword from him. Certainly John Moss did. John Moss does John Moss things, I think was what he said to me regarding that famous West Ham game when he sent Jamie Vardy off, and the fact that he never ever got a penalty awarded in his favour in his entire career, despite literally having the shirt pulled off his back at Crystal Palace during the title winning season. So
if
you guys
that
want to read that, go over to The Athletic website. It's a very entertaining interview with Robert Huth. He's a real character. Did you have much dealings with Robert? Did you come across him a lot? Because I imagine he would have been cut from a very similar cloth to Matt Elliott.
Well, there are certain physical comparisons, maybe. Yeah, neither of us were the most athletic, that's for sure. But, yeah, certain similarities there, aren't there? But he... I'm trying to think if I actually played against him, but when his Chelsea days, because he came over young, didn't he?
Oh, he was very young, yeah. And he's English. He speaks. He's moved back to Berlin now.
Yeah.
He's moved his family. He married Francesca, who's an actress, and they've just moved back to Berlin now. He's looking to get into the game in the technical side of football. You know, it's like a technical director type role, looking at the recruitment and stuff like that, which was interesting. So he's back in Berlin, but he spent the vast majority of his life in England.
Yeah, I could see that. Was it Chelsea? Middlesbrough, primarily, wasn't
Stoke.
It? And
Stoke, and
obviously, yeah. Because, I mean, when he came to Leicester, I wouldn't say you thought his career was over, but, you know, thought it was on the wane almost, didn't you? You can't believe what happened to him, but fair play. He's a good, solid character, isn't he? I sort of met him very briefly at a club function once, and we both had a few too many, so it was only a fleeting little warble to each other. But you could see straight away he had a bit of personality about him. You saw that on the pitch as well. He didn't take any nonsense, did he, from opposition strikers. And, I liked the way he played. You know, he got the best out of himself, didn't he? That's for sure. Him and Wes were quite a formidable duo, and it suited Leicester at that time, didn't it? They're literally sitting deep. The fullbacks didn't even bother closing down crosses too often. They just went, okay, like, you're not going to come through the middle of us, put the crosses in, because Huth and Morgan will deal with that. And Leicester won the league from that platform, really, you know, and broke away, and Mahrez and Vardy did what they did. It was incredible. But he's a bit slightly alternative he comes across, doesn't he? A little bit quirky.
Some of the things in his career. Yeah, some of the things in his career. I mean, if you look at his Twitter feed, it's something about he's a former elbow-wielding, sort of uncompromising centre-back. He admits that, I think when he signed for Leicester, he tweeted something about, now the sexy football comes to Leicester, a tongue-in-cheek. Yeah. But he knew his limitations. He knew his strengths and limitations. But and that's the reason why I chose him as a cult hero, because fans identify with that type of player, that sort of, you know, uncompromising, roll the sleeves up, give everything you've got. Even if you haven't got the greatest talent around, you're going to give everything you've got for the cause, because that's how fans would like perceive their contribution if they got to wear the shirt. And so I think it's the minimum that they expect, but they certainly take those sort of players to their hearts.
Yeah, well, it's the least, you know, you should demand, isn't it, really? Because, yeah, just give your all. Any supporter would give everything they've got to get, I don't know, one appearance under their belt, wouldn't it? And but he was a smart player, Hoof, as well. You know, much better, as is usually the case with most players, to be honest, but particularly centre-halves, you get much more competent as you become more experienced. You understand the game, when to do things, when not to, how to do them, to sort of look after yourself. And, you know, you become much more wily and effective as you get older. And certainly that was the case with myself. And similar with Robert. He's a, you know, what an amazing finale he had to his career. And it wasn't bad throughout, was it? You know, it was always at a steady level. But then, go back to what I said earlier, the harder you work, the luckier you get. You keep applying yourself and sooner or later something's going to come round your way, something special, and it certainly did with him, and fair play to him for that. And yeah, the Leicester City supporters, you know, took him to their heart, didn't they? But because of the character within not just the player but the man himself.
Absolutely wonderful. That's one Leicester City legend talking about another Leicester City legend. Matt, thank you very much for joining us again this week.
Pleasure, mate. Always look forward to having a chat.
Absolutely. And hopefully we'll be discussing a victory over Man City again next week on this podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in. Join us again next time.
The Athletic.